football on off the ball.
Regardless of the Declan Rice handball, which was a handball, it was handball, no matter what you say or any way you look at it, it's a foul because he's got his arm around the guy's shoulders. He's dragging the guy down who can't jump. VAR should be checking that.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Yeah, I think it's a big, big moment.
The League of Ireland is live and exclusive again this Friday on Off the Ball.
There's still time here.
Last Friday night, the champions were battered by arch-rivals Bohemians.
Rovers haven't been good enough.
It was a late, late show, and to whom it may concern, Bradley's boys made sure this week's opponents were duly warned.
Aaron Green has made it 3-2, a game that was over.
Pretenders to the throne, Derry City came from behind to beat Waterford's with a couple of late ones themselves, and talisman Mikey Duffy struck again.
It's picked up by Mikey Duffy. Really well.
On Friday, the Candy Stripes come to Dublin, looking to throw the gauntlet down to Rovers. Shamrock Rovers versus Derry City at Tallaght Stadium is live and exclusive on Off the Ball from 7 this Friday on News Talk and the Go Loud app.
League of Ireland on Off the Ball.
The News Round on Off the Ball. This is News Talk.
Good evening. You're very welcome along to Wednesday night's Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you till 10 o'clock this evening. Coming up, we're going to be speaking to Gerry Thornley on Wednesday night rugby from around 20 past 7. Of course, the Ireland team named for the Wales clash on Friday night. From 8 to 9, we're going to have David Burke in studio with us. He is, of course, the All-Ireland winning captain with Galway when they won the All-Ireland in 2017, as well as captaining the side that day. He won man of the match in that All-Ireland final. So a pretty sweet day for him. So we'll be reflecting on his intercounty career between 8 and 9. And then from 9 o'clock, Keith Tracy is going to pop in as we have another busy evening in the Premier League coming your way. Our number is 087-9180-180 if you want to get us on WhatsApp. Arthur O'Dea is here with me in studio. Hello, Arthur.
Hello.
So as I say, David Burke is with us in studio tonight. Have a listen to this.
We waited 29 long years, but finally, Lee McCarthy's coming back to the West. Came into the pass, this man got man the match in the All-Ireland final in 1988. It would be amiss of me not to mention his name, the great Tony Keating. To Tony's wife Margaret, children Shannon, Anthony, Jake and Harry, we hope to lift the cup today. We'll give you some solace from your grief, if only for a few seconds. One other person that I can't let today pass without mentioning. He was soldiering with us for years. Good friend of mine. First cousin of Conor Whelan. He passed away in 2014. Niall Donoghue. We'll never forget him. We'll remember him today.
His All-Ireland winning speech from 2017, you'd forget almost about the emotion that charged that Galway era and how close Tony Keady's passing was to that All-Ireland. About a month in between those two events, and obviously Niall Donoghue a number of years earlier. Was that on one level like a real sense of emotion, and also that the 29 years, granted nowhere near as significant as the loss of somebody like Keady and someone like Niall Donoghue, but that was still part of the emotion as well, much like Limerick a year later when another drought had ended. It was a charged time for a lot of hurling counties.
It was remarkable, and that final had it either way. I mean, it was going to be Galway or it was going to be Waterford, and there was a kind of obviously one drought longer than the other, but it was... Oh, it was kind of perfect. It was kind of perfect in all sorts of ways. Like, it was that, you know, from such devastating low to that elation. It was kind of because it had been building for so many years. They'd been in 15 and 12 and so many different kind of heartaches, that team.
And lots of controversies in the off-seasons.
Loads of controversies. And it just is, they were so, you can, I know a lot of them might, you know, you don't want to measure out your impact in All-Ireland medals, but having it and not having it is such a difference. It just kind of justifies or explains away an awful lot.
And yet, we'll ask David Burke this later on, but I guess there's a sense of regret about some of the ones that they didn't win, because you get to be greedy when you've won one. You get to think about all the other ones that you didn't win, whereas you take somebody from that Waterford team who's now retired and they would take your arm off for just one of them.
Just one. It is, and it's probably Galway. It's a strange one, because I remember in 18... throughout the year, Galway, I argue they're probably better than they had been the year before. Whatever happened to them in that final against Limerick, that they got so far, they found themselves so far behind that they couldn't get back. But it they must be a bit of regret, especially when you're looking on the years after and you see Limerick take their chance and take a few All-Irelands and kind of have that added oomph to their era that Galway must have thought that really could have been us. But they were unfortunate. You'd argue Galway probably came up against a far higher calibre of team in the kind of in their early 2010s to over the 2010s between running into Kilkenny. Great, you know, they had so many great games with Tipperary. I'd say it was a harder era. I've not thought that true, but I would argue they probably had a higher calibre team to get through.
Definitely, and like his career is bookended by the great Kilkenny team and the great Limerick team.
Yeah, exactly.
Granted,
yeah.
He played all the way up until last year when obviously Limerick had gone back-to-back years without winning the All-Ireland, but still, it's an interesting one. So loads to discuss with him. 087-9180-180, if you've got any memories of David Burke. Highs or lows, if you're a Galwegian in particular, over the last decade or so. We're particularly interested in the lows, actually.
Yeah.
Let's go through some of today's stories then. The Ireland team, as I've mentioned, has come out today. 5 changes for Friday night against Wales. So you've got Jacob Stockdale coming in to replace James Lowe on the left wing. It looked like it was going to be Tommy O'Brien versus Stockdale for that position, but it's Stockdale who's got it. Then you've got Tom O'Toole and Ronan Kelleher getting starts. Jack Conan and Nick Timoney are coming into the back row as well. Tyke Byrne is shifting to the second row. Joe McCarthy is on the bench. So the team in full, Jamie Osborne at fullback with Jacob Stockdale and Robert Ballacoon in the wings. Ringrose and McCluskey continue their partnership in midfield, as do Crowley and Gibson Park at halfback. Then you've got Tom O'Toole, Ronan Kelleher, Tyke Furlong making up a new look front row. James Ryan and Tyke Byrne in the second row, as I mentioned. And then Jack Conan, Nick Timoney and Captain Caelan Doris are the back row. Nathan Doak, interestingly, is on the bench. So he would win his first cap if and when he appears with Tom Stewart, Michael Milne, Thomas Clarkson, Joe McCarthy, Josh van der Fleer, Tom Farrell and Kieran Frawley, the other replacements, in a 5-3 split. And head coach Andy Farrell says it made sense to shake things up after their record win at Twickenham last time out.
I wouldn't say rotation, no. I'd say whatever's right for the team and the group going forward. And I'm making sure that we're able to find out about people who deserve a chance to compete for a shirt. And I suppose there's all sorts of different dynamics that's within that squad. Somebody like Tom Stewart, he deserves to battle for the number two shirt because he's been outstanding with how he's conducted himself within the camp over the last few weeks. So he needs an opportunity to be able to show what he can do under the lights here on Friday night. And then you've other guys, certainly like the likes of Robert Ballacoon or even Stu McCluskey or whatever, who's got to back up good performances and making sure that is the consistent thing that they're able to keep pushing on with the game. So, I mean, we could go through the whole group in that regard, really.
Yes, indeed. We'll hear more from Andy Farrell on Wednesday Night Rugby in around 10 minutes time. The top line on his contract is that he says he's going to sit down with the IRFU to discuss his future after the tournament. So his current deal runs through to the end of next year's Rugby World Cup. He was dismissing recent reports linking him with a move to his former club Saracens in 2027. He basically said people are out there putting two and two together and getting 5. You look like a man who wants to opine on the Andy Farrell contract situation.
No, he's well within his rights. 2 and 2 together and 5. I guess that means, is that a no? Is that a definitely that's wrong?
He didn't give a definite no. He said that the conversation needs to happen with the IRFU.
Yes. Oh, it's really hard because it's really hard to, you can't know, I suppose, what's going on. And by the same token, Andy Farrell, I'd say, has a good estimation of his own self-worth. I'd say he knows what he's worth to Ireland. I'd say he knows what he's worth to Irish rugby. And I'd say he probably knows what he could be worth to other teams in other countries. But it's kind of a, you do at the end of it, there's always a game to be played, isn't there? There's always a game, and I'm not suggesting he's playing games, but there's always, like, at the end of the day, it comes down to, do you want me? Okay, you want me. Here's my prize. These people also want me. And at the end of one way or another, that, I suppose, will come to the fore. Like, he's not tied to us by, he chooses to be here. Mm-hmm. I suppose, and yeah, what informs that choice will be interesting.
And his iron is still very hot.
Certainly
after Twickenham, it's a good time to be having this conversation. But he has a good life here. I would say that if money was no object, he would stay here. I suspect that the IRFU aren't as capable of offering him the best contracts in world rugby compared to maybe some of the Prem clubs, maybe even the RFU if they were open to an Andy Farrell return. So we often have to operate in this place. But maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they'll break the bank completely. So I think the IRFU will try to do everything in their power to keep him, unless everything results-wise, form, completely turns on its head over the next little while. Just want to run through some of tonight's Premier League action because it is a busy night and a night full of pressure for the Premier League's top two. So leaders Arsenal, they're off to Brighton looking for a win that would keep a 5-point gap between themselves and second place Manchester City, who are at home to Nottingham Forest. And Gunners boss Mikel Arteta insists his squad have shown they can cope with the twists and turns of the title race.
We have managed a lot of emotions the last 8 months, and deal from here to the end is going to have to do a lot of things that have nothing to do with emotion as well, to continue to be here and to hope to win what we want to win.
So that one kicks off at 7:30. The Arsenal team is David Raya in goals, a back four of Ncapier, Gabriel Mosquera and Jurrien Timber. So no William Saliba tonight for Arsenal. Then it's Declan Rice, Martin Zubimendi and Eberechi Eze in midfield, Martinelli on the left, Bukayo Saka on the right, behind Victor Gyökeres up front. Turning to Manchester City then, we've got Pep Guardiola here who says they're taking it one game at a time.
Just Nottingham Forest in my mind. People say, and won't anticipate, what will happen if you win 7 in a row or you lose these games? Or nothing. It's what's next, and this is only I'm concerned.
The Manchester City lineup, it's Gianluigi Donnarumma in goal, a back four of Rayan Aidenori at left back, Nunez at right back, Ruben Diaz and Mark Way in midfield, Rodri in midfield, Phil Foden starts in the 10, Bernardo Silva on the right, Cherki on the left, and Semenyo and Haaland up front. The constellation of that attack. Yeah. Never mind what I just said there. I mean, I am, to pull back the curtain, reading it on Live Score, and when you're reading Manchester City attack on Live Score, you know that it could be more fluid than that. So those are kicking off at 7:30. At 8:15, it is Newcastle United versus Manchester United. To go through the teams here, Aaron Ramsdale starting in goal for Newcastle tonight. It's a back four of Kieran Trippier, Malik Chow, Dan Byrne and Lewis Hall. Midfielder Jacob Ramsey, Sandro Tonali and Joe Linton behind Gordon, Barnes and Elanga. For Manchester United then, it's Sene Lammens in goal, Mazraoui at right back, Luke Shaw at left back, Yarrow and Maguire in midfield, Mainoo and Casemiro behind Bruno Fernandes. Then it's Cunha on the left, presumably in Mbeumo and Benjamin Sheshko up front. I mean, that's kind of close to Manchester United starting team at this point. Well, Dalot.
Is he dropped or thing?
Dalot's on the bench.
He should be dropped.
Yeah.
That's good. Mazraoui did all right last night when he came in from Shaw.
Mm-hmm.
So there would be a bit more optimism around that. But I think it's a Man United is going to take it game by game in a similar sense and just keep doing the same thing until it kind of runs out of road.
Yeah. Just to run you through the other fixtures tonight, it's Aston Villa versus Chelsea this evening. I'll go through the Chelsea team. It's Jorgensen in goal. So Sanchez not starting tonight. He's on the bench for Chelsea. It's a back four of Hato, Chalaba, Fofana, Gusto. It's Caicedo and Reece James in midfield. Enzo Fernandez in the 10. Garnacho, Cole Palmer behind Joao Pedro. So that is the slate of fixtures tonight. You've also got Fulham versus West Ham at 7:30 p.m. So we'll be keeping an eye on all of that this evening. We've also got some Scottish action tonight. So Celtic, they can leapfrog Rangers into second place in the Scottish Premiership if they win at Aberdeen. It's the defending champions game in hand on their old firm rivals and, of course, on leaders' hearts. And Hoops boss Martin O'Neill says 90th minute goals at Kilmarnock and Rangers have put them right back in contention.
For us to fight back in the manner in which we did should give us plenty of confidence anyway. If you're talking about late goals being scored, then Hibs scored a late goal against us, so it can actually work both ways at times. The lovely thing about the team is that they keep going right to the very, very end.
Just one other piece of men's football news to bring you. Mikey Johnston, he's going to miss the Republic of Ireland's upcoming World Cup playoff against Czechia. So his club West Brom have confirmed that the winger suffered a stress fracture in his ankle against Oxford United last weekend. Evan Ferguson then is almost certainly going to miss the match in Prague with an ankle injury, while Adam Ida is a major doubt with a groin issue. So we'll come back to all those football stories with Keith Tracy after 9 o'clock tonight. We're turning our attention to rugby firmly for the next little while, and of course that interview with David Burke coming up after 8 o'clock. So Gerry Thornley after the break, and before that it's time for the Cash Machine.